Thank you, Dr. Getch. Take your Bibles this morning and let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I enjoy coming to West Coast Baptist College. When this gets on my calendar, I'm anxious about it. This is a wonderful place. I'll be out for a leadership conference again this June. Last year, I was scheduled to be in chapel, and I was too sick to come. But I'm feeling pretty good today. Happy about that. And excited about what God has done in this place this past weekend, ministering to over 10,000 people. That is historic. Over 250 people saved. I just got word, and I'm so happy that you could be a part of all that. When I say historic, I mean an independent fundamental Baptist movement. That is historic, what this church has done. I know that many of you had a part in that, and I just want to praise God with you. I'm excited for you. We'll look right in the Bible here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just say, coming out of the Easter season, there are a lot of wonderful things spiritually about that, but you have to forgive me. I'm from Tennessee, kind of simple. I like Reese cups. One of the most exciting things about Easter is the Reese's peanut butter egg. Somebody say amen right there. We'll take a little poll right here. How many believe that they put something special in the Reese's peanut butter egg? I don't know what it is, but I mean to tell you what. I have rheumatoid arthritis. So I'm not supposed to eat a lot of sugar. So I didn't get the big ones, but I got a bag of the little ones, and I ate the whole bag of little ones. I couldn't hardly walk the next day. And then one of our students brought me in one of those big Reese's peanut butter eggs that's in the big box. You can see the, and I just kind of took me a knife there in the kitchen in the office. I sliced it up just like steak, and I had a piece of that, cup of coffee. Somebody say amen right there. That's some good stuff. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. This is the apostle speaking. I mean, he was a powerful man of God. And it's strange that even though he was a powerful man of God, he was a very sick man. Verse 2, and I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth how. By the way, how do you explain the fact that you get caught up to the third heaven? I don't know that I really want to know how that happened. I'm just glad that he did it, was able to see. Verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one I will glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there is given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'll draw your attention to the phrase there in verse number 7 where the Bible says, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. Now I want to speak on that subject for just a while this morning. It's just a thorn. I'm not making light of it. It is a thorn, but it's just a thorn. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these students that are here and the faculty and all of us, Lord, that's called to serve God. And Lord, it is true that often you do not greatly use a man until you greatly hurt a man. Not one of us here would sign up for any of that. But we understand life. And there are those sitting among us that are going through difficulty right now. There are those that if they're not going through it, they're facing it. They don't even know it. And so I pray you'll help us, Lord, to understand that your grace is sufficient, that you send things our way for a reason, for a purpose, and you're in control, and we may or may not understand it all. But today I pray you'll speak to our hearts and challenge us. We don't need anybody to quit. And come this May, when this graduating class walks across the platform, receives their diploma, may they not quit till they see you face to face in the judgment. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I grew up in West Virginia. I live in Tennessee. I guess it's the only place you could move to and not have to learn a new language. And so it's kind of a lateral move for me. But when I was growing up as a boy in West Virginia, we had a lot of snow up there and we'd go sleigh riding. And not everybody has a sled. I had a sled. It wasn't a fast sled. We would get the rust off the runners and we would wax them, you know, do all we could to make the sled fast. Now, in West Virginia, we didn't have these little old hills. We had, you know, big mountain passes we'd come off of. And it was always scary, you know. You had jumps in the middle of the hill where you'd jump with your sled. And we had this one place that was really, really cool. At the end of it, you couldn't get stopped. You had to be able to go under the barbed wire fence. It was an exciting run. I mean, if you didn't leave that hill with a broken tooth or a busted nose or something, you weren't really sleigh riding. Well, my mom had got us a plastic coat. We didn't have leather coats back then, but it was a plastic coat. No one could afford a leather coat in West Virginia. So my mom had bought us, all of us boys, black plastic coats, facts or faux leather. I found out that I could go down that hill quicker on my back in that black plastic coat than I could in my sled. I had a big time, man. I was going down the back of that hill, man. I was freestyling like that on my back. Man, down to my front, I was having a big time. When I went home, I had that coat was torn all to pieces from the thorns and the briars in the snow, and boy, I got my new ground tore up right there. You'll figure that out in a little bit for that. When I pulled my glove off that day, you know how your hands get real cold and kind of numb. When I pulled my glove off that day, I felt something kind of, ouch, what was that? And I looked, and when I pulled my glove off, there's this big long thorn in my glove. It had been in there all day probably. My hands were so cold I didn't know it. When I pulled the glove off, I thought, that's cool, bled a little bit, you know, it's over. What I did not know was that thorn has a hole on it. And it left some of that hole inside my finger. I got a little scar right there this day where they lanced it. But I didn't think much about it. And I showed my mom and she said, it's just a thorn, you'll be okay. The next morning, I woke up and my finger was as big around as my arm. I kind of exaggerate, but I am a Baptist preacher. It was big. It was red, and that little place right there is kind of white. And I thought, it's just a thorn, huh? Just a thorn? I'm like, man, look at this. I'm going to lose my finger. My oldest brothers are giving you to encourage you. My oldest brother said, I'll tell you what, Mike said, you better go to the doctor because I'm told if you get blood poisoning, you can tell it because these red lines will shoot up your arm, and they're not just cut your finger off, man. You're going to lose your arm. So I didn't think anything about it because I thought it was just a thorn. And so Dad, you know, he lanced it there a little bit, and then he put some Mercurochrome on or something. Well, the next morning I got up, and I had red lines shooting up my arm, and Joe said, you're going to lose your arm, Mike. They're going to cut your arm off. Praise God for that. I kept thinking it was just a thorn, and I remember they took me to the doctor. They did all this stuff, and they gave me penicillin. They finally got it all straightened out. But I learned three things real quick whenever I look back on that. When we think about the observation of a thorn in our life, I understood, first of all, a thorn is very painful. Why don't you write that down? Thorns, we're observing the thorn. A thorn is very painful. I'll make application in a minute. Secondly, I figured this out, that a thorn will remind you every day that it's there. To this day, I got a little scar right there. See that, Brother Weaver? You're old. Even if you can't see it, say, I'll tell everybody you can see that. Yeah, yes, he sees it. It reminds you every day that it's there. But a thorn will not kill you. A thorn is very painful. It reminds you every day it's there. But a thorn will not kill you. I guess eventually if they had cut my arm off and got gangrene, I could have died. I reckon. But that is not the design of a thorn. And the fourth thing is, a thorn is not designed to stop you. Many times in ministry, some thorn will invade our life. And we think all of a sudden, well, God must want me to quit. I need to slow down. No, God doesn't want you to quit at all. There is a reason for the thorn. Number one, I want you to see the observation of the thorn. Number two, I want to give you some definition to the thorn. Now, your Bible college students, I understand I have professors behind me. I don't think that God really gave us the complete answer to what the thorn really was. We can just make a hypothesis, but I think he didn't give us the answer because all of us are going to have a thorn from time to time, and you're going to fall into this passage somewhere. Let's just speculate for a while. What was the thorn? Paul was a very sick man. We understand that he had an eye disease, and it could have been something had to do with that. He understood pain. The guy was beaten night and day. He knew what it was to float out in the deep. He understood all that, but I think about the pain. Some say that he had an eye disease that had something to do with the fact that he was he'd gone blind on the road to Damascus, and he always had this running, scaly type eye disease. And tradition says that when the apostle would preach, he wasn't somebody that was favorable to look at. I mean, how do you look at somebody whose eyes are maybe running and maybe with scales and pussy? And how we know this, that whenever he would pen by scripture by inspiration, sometimes he would use somebody that would write for him. And in one place he said, "You see how big a letter that I write unto you." There are some places where theologians believe that he actually took the pen himself and wrote. And some places he would close out, "Paul, with mine own hand," letting people to make sure that they would tell that was written by authority by the apostle. And so it could have been that. I do not know. It could have been the fact that he had all type of pain from the beatings and scourgings that he received. I do not know. But the apostle was faced with what I call five of the most prevalent things that stop most Christians. Number one was pain. Secondly, was persecution. As we try to define this thing, what was it that was the thorn? We understand in the previous chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about verse 23. He says, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one, thrice beaten with rods, once I was stoned." I mean, it could have been persecution. I do not know. It could have been the pain from his sickness. I do not know. It could have been the fact that some believe he was had a tendency to pride and to be arrogant. I do not know that. We just read for you the first six verses. Here was a man that got to do something that nobody else in the world had a chance to do. God allowed him to be caught up into paradise and see things, the Bible says, they're unspeakable. In other words, too sacred to be able to come back to earth to speak those things. How do you describe heaven when you think about heaven? Somebody says, "Well, I know what's heaven's like," and songwriters write about heaven and sing about heaven. But the Bible says about heaven that eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And how in the world could anybody ever come back from heaven and describe it in such a way that you and I could even understand? And he had all this knowledge about heaven and could have been filled full of pride. He does say that he believes that's why he received the thorn here. And then it could have been poverty, and he says in other places in this chapter itself how he struggled sometimes to make ends meet. Sometimes he had to help put together tents just to make a living, and it could have been that. He's the one that said, "I've learned how to be content in every state." I wrote this fifth thing down. You might want to jot it down. It could have been people. There are some theologians, you read after them, they'll say, people like Alexander the coppersmith seem to be everywhere. And this guy, the Bible says, did him much evil. There are preachers today that I know that they'll go to another town and to preach maybe. And by the time they get there, some Alexander the coppersmith has sent some letter or some email or, God forbid, some text or Twitter to the other pastor just trying to dirty their name before they ever get to town. Some believe that Alexander the coppersmith had such scorn in his heart for the apostle that he did things like that. It could have been pain. It could have been people. It could have been pride. It could have been persecution. I don't know. I know one thing that I'll mention today that stops a lot of people's pleasure. Can I kind of warn you about this? And this is the sixth thing that's kind of out of the box. We live in a very prosperous society today. And you may get in your brain that as a preacher, I need to be provided for. I need to have a lot of things. And I need to, and whenever you don't get those things, you'll get out of the ministry. Just begin to live a life of pleasure. God did not call you to a life of pleasure. Although I think you can enjoy the ministry, I'm having the time of my life right now. But these are things that can stop. What was the thorn? I don't know that I can pin down exactly where the thorn is. If you ask me later, I think I can tell you what I think the thorn is. I do not know. But I do know the Bible says here in verse number 7, he says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. I mean, night and day, day in and day out. He never forgot it. Whatever it was very, very painful. But Paul said, I'm not going to let it stop me. I'm not going to quit. A thorn is just a thorn. It will not kill you. We see the observation of a thorn. We see the probable definition of the thorn. But here's the meat of the message. I want to give you the instruction for the thorn. I've got this thorn, preacher. What am I supposed to learn? First of all, God gives us a thorn, number one, to humble us. Would you write that down somewhere, to humble us? Verse 7 says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. I mean, here's a guy, he knew more than anybody else. He wrote several books of the Bible and shared a lot of that stuff with us, what he could share with us by inspiration. But God took a notch out of him. Don't ever put God in a position where he's got to humble you and take a notch out of you. This thing, humility, is such an elusive thing. And the minute you think you're humble, you're not. How many know Dr. John Bishop? Know Dr. John Bishop? He just called me just a while ago. I haven't answered yet. Brother Bishop works out of our church, a member of our church. Brother Bishop, if you've ever heard him, he had meningitis where he lost all of his memory, had to learn all of it back again. So just give you some quick background about him. And so now he talks like he's like 12 years old. And he stood up in front of our church the other day. He said, Brother Norris, he said, heard story the other day about preacher was such humble man. Said his church thought he's such humble man, they're going to have big day for preacher and praise preacher because he was so humble. Preacher was a humble man. Said, got up, and they said, he humble man, preacher humble man. Everybody clapped their hands happy for preacher, their pastor humble. They gave him a badge for being so humble. Said Sunday night, he wore it, and they took it back from him. Not humble no more. What do you do with it? I remember when I became the pastor of the Ripley Baptist Temple in Ripley, West Virginia. Man, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. I was so green, you could throw me out in the front yard, I'd take root. But I thought, man, this is it. I am the pastor of the Ripley Baptist Temple. Woo! 88 people our first Sunday. I was excited about that. I found out that I had to go down to the courthouse. I was going to marry somebody. I was about to have my first wedding. I had to go down and register my ordination papers and pay $3 so that I could legally marry people in West Virginia. I know that that's probably not supposed to do that, but no one told me that. So I thought, I'm going to the courthouse. Now, this is my hometown. Man, back then, had my three-piece suit on, Doc. Remember the old three-piece suits? They're coming back, I guess. Three-piece suit, had my shoes shine. I got me a file folder for my ordination paper. We always say ordination papers. They're not plural. It's a piece of paper that a bunch of preachers sign. And I'm taking that. Why'd I have to have it in a file folder? I could have folded it and put it in my pocket. But I thought this was neat. Because when you pull up in front of the courthouse of Ripley, West Virginia, you got all these windows and all the staff sits in those cubicles. They look out those windows. And I went to high school with most of them. And everybody knew it. So here comes Mike Norris with his ordination paper in his file folder. I'm in my three-piece suit. I park out there. So when I get out of the car, everybody can see me because I'm the pastor of the Ripley Baptist Temple. So I'm walking. I'm going in to register my ordination paper. There's a little raise in the sidewalk about an inch and a half like that I did not see. And this has taught me a lesson. My toe hit that thing. My paper went up in the air. I fell down flat on my nose. My glasses came off. I've scrubbed up the knees on my britches. While I was down there, the Lord had a quick little talk with me. He says, now just get up, get in there, get that done, and get back out. You're not as big as you think you are. I never forgot that day. Don't make the Lord humble you. The thorn will humble us. I live a life now with rheumatoid arthritis. There's not a day that I get out of bed that I don't remember I have rheumatoid arthritis. I had to make myself stand up straight. I had to force myself to do that. When I stand up to walk to the pulpit every time I preach, I have to stand up and wait to make sure that my knees are going to kick in before I walk over here. I'm going to tell you what, I don't regret any of that. I don't complain and whine about any of that. They walked in the prayer room just a moment ago and said, "Preacher, how you feeling?" Oh, I feel just about the same. Dr. Har's known me for years. Feel about the same. But you just keep on going. You don't let stuff like that stop you. Number one, here's the instruction. God gives us a thorn to humble us. Number two, God gives us a thorn to make us pray. Look at verse 8. He says this. He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." I want you to circle that word besought. That's a very strong word. He didn't just whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon. The Bible says that he besought the Lord. I think he prayed and fasted. I think there are times he prayed through the night. "Oh God, take this away. Oh God, I can't do the work of God with this. Please take it away." He begged God, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you ought to learn how to pray about the thorn. But understand that God did not answer the prayer of the great apostle Paul. And he may not answer your prayer. And he may not take your thorn away. But I want to remind you today, it's just a thorn and God knows all about it. A thorn is given to us to humble us. A thorn is given to us to teach us to pray. If you don't learn anything before you leave the West Coast Baptist College, learn how to get a hold of God. Learn how to beseech the Lord and beg God for great power and wisdom in your ministry. I wrote this third thing down when it comes to instruction of the thorn. God gives us the thorn to experience sufficient grace. He said, "My grace is sufficient." Some things you're going to just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray about, and nothing's going to happen. Does that mean that God is not on the throne anymore? Does that mean that God doesn't hear you? No, it means that He's telling you, "Just go on, it's going to be okay. I love you. I know what I'm doing. You just go on, it's going to be okay." He gives us a thorn to teach us His grace is sufficient. I'm zipping along here. Look at number four. God gives us a thorn to experience strength in weakness. To experience strength in weakness. He says, "The most gladly, therefore, for my strength, my grace is sufficient for my strength." God's strength is made perfect in weakness. See, God wants us to step back so that He can be exalted. As you leave Bible college, you have all this knowledge that you've learned in the classroom, and thank God for every bit of it, but always remember that God gives you that knowledge so that you can use that and step back and let God's strength be seen in you. And we're given a thorn so we can experience strength and weakness. And, you know, climbing a mountain makes us strong. You get up every day of your life like I do, day in and day out, and you try not to take the heavy drugs. I try not to take steroids. I can take enough prednisone. I can jump over this building and feel good. But I try to stay off all of the painkillers so that it won't rack my body and have other physical problems. And I want you to know that as you do that, it makes you stronger, and we need our strength to be made perfect in our weakness. Number five, God gives us a thorn to experience God's power. He gives us a thorn to experience God's power. Here you have the Apostle Paul, this hunkered over fellow. He can't hardly see a lick, and whatever the problems are he has in life, but yet he was one of the most powerful apostles of all of them. I thought about whenever I went to the doctor at Duke University, I thought about how, I forgot what time I was supposed to quit. Did you say 10:20 or 10:40? Oh, let's slow down just a little bit then here. I was moving right along, wide open. Here we go. I remember whenever I was a patient, second time at Duke University, and they told me you had systematic active rheumatoid arthritis. You'll be in a wheelchair by the time you're 40. I think I've told some of this story here before, so I'll zip through it. But I remember I was just a young preacher, and I came home. And some days the pain was so bad I couldn't get out of bed. And the covers, it would hurt for the covers to lay on my body. And I thought about all that, and I thought about how, you know, how am I going to move this church along? I thought about how warm water would help with some of the pain, and I remember, I shouldn't tell you I did this, but I filled the baptistry up and got it warm, and I kept me a little pair of cut-off blue jeans. And I'd shuffle over there sometime at night when nobody was around, and I would get over in that baptistry just to get warmed up. And one of our men found out I was doing that, and they got some money together, and they bought me a hot tub, and they brought it out there and set in the garage. My wife came back to the bedroom where I was at, and they said, "Honey," said, "some of the men in the church got something for you. Why don't you come out here and see it?" I said, "I can't. I can't walk. I can't get out there. And I remember a couple of the guys that I went to high school with, I played basketball, were members of our church, and they came back to my room, and they grabbed me by both arms and my legs, and they carried me out there, and they put me in that hot tub. And I thought about how humbling that was for me, because I was always a tall and healthy person. Look at me. You think, well, you know, there's nothing really wrong with him. And I thought this was so humbling for me. And I remember those days. And I remember the time that my wife, she would feed me there. And sometimes this one day she was feeding me this soup. And I was laying in bed. And I remember I telling her, honey, I said, I don't think I can go on. I just don't think this church needs someone better than this. I don't think I can go on. I'm a young man. I'm in my late 20s. And I thought, I just need to quit. I remember her grabbing me by the shoulders. And I remember her hot tears hitting my cheeks. And she said, you listen to me. She said, you just keep on going. The doctor said, don't you ever quit. And I want you to know I love you and God loves you. And we're going to do this. If we have to do it from a wheelchair, we're going to do this. And ladies and gentlemen, thank God for a good wife. And thank God that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. I cannot explain that, but during the days that I was at my sickest, that church grew by the hundreds in a little town of West Virginia. You say, boy, you must have been a good preacher. No, he took me out of it. I'm just saying that God allows a thorn to experience God's power. I should not say this, but I think it's indicated in the passage. And that is that Paul would probably not have been as successful and powerful had he not had the thorn. So whatever your thorn is, whatever the Holy Spirit speaking in your heart about your thorn right now, be careful. And don't let that thorn stop you. Because it could be that very thorn in your flesh that allows you to have the power of God rest on you. I wrote this fifth thing down. God gives us a thorn to learn how to take pleasure in hardship. This is amazing to me. When you read verses 1 through 10 in context, you see this man in verses 1 through 6, it's just, I mean, the guy has got it. He's the big unit. He's got everything. He's smart. He's an apostle. He's an eyewitness. He's privileged to see paradise and come back down and gives us bits and pieces. He gives us so much about the second coming of Christ and Bible prophecy and his writings. And I think a lot of this stuff was given him when he was caught up there, and he puts it down there so we can halfway understand what it's all about. How do you explain shooting through the sky in the rapture? Well, he says, hey, man, when it happened to me, he said, I'd rather in the body, out of the body. I can't tell. How's it going to feel like? That's how it's going to feel like, whether in the body, out of the body, I can't tell. One thing I know is I was here, next thing I know, I'm up there. Amen. How many are going someday to be with Jesus? Amen. Yeah. And I'm thinking how he gets down, this is what's amazing, he gets down to verse number 10. Verse 9, he says, most gladly therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. What? It's just a thorn. He says, I take pleasure in reproaches. Alexander the coppersmith just scorning me everywhere I go. He said, that's all right. He says, I take pleasure in necessities, the fact that I don't have any food to eat. I take pleasure in persecution. I'm out here floating a night and a day in the deep on the board. Something good is getting ready to happen to you, Paul. I mean, the guy had a way to take these things and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He had a way to take that which is a problem and that which people whine about and turn around and count it pleasure for the glory of God. I'm going to tell you what, when you finally get to that place in your life, you're beginning to understand what the Christian life is all about. For this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's brighter shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what your thorn is. But I want to tell you today, it's just a thorn. It will remind you every day it's there. It's painful, but it will not kill you and is not intended to stop you. So, Paul, how's it going? Brother Norris, I can't see a lick. I'm glad I got these guys around me so I can tell them what to write. But he says, it's going great. Hey, Paul, how's it going? Brother Norris, I tell you what, you've been down ministry. I have. I drag myself around all the time. He said, they beat me. Look at my back. Look at my back. Look, scars on my back. Beaten three times with rods. But I just love the ministry. Love the ministry. Hey, Paul, how's it going? You know, so Alexander Coppersmith, if he gets Twitter and Facebook, I'm done. But he said, it's hilarious. He said, the guy's a nutcase, you know that. Hey, Paul, how's it going? Hey, West Coast student, how's it going? Preacher, I got orals coming up. I'm scared to slap to death. It's just a thorn. It ain't going to kill you. You may have to hit her two or three times, but you'll get through it. Hey, college student, how's it going? Preacher, I've drugged myself through this whole semester. I'm sick as a dog. I should have went home. Yeah, you could have, but you didn't because it's just a thorn. Preacher, I'm graduating. I don't know where I'm going. It's just a thorn. My mom and dad's about to split up back home. I understand that, and it's bad, and it's painful, and you'll go to bed at night with it tonight worried about it, but please understand, it's just a thorn. It's not intended to stop you, and it will not kill you. It's just a thorn. How many times have I had to tell myself, it's just arthritis? People look at you, oh, you got a little bit of arthritis. I do too. Boy, I have this pain in my elbow. I want to say, you got pain in your elbow. How about taking 90 grams of prednisone and take a big old horse pill like that that's NSAID, a painkiller that I have? Then we'll talk about arthritis. But I have to tell myself every day, it's just a thorn. It's just a thorn. I guess I came all the way from Tennessee to tell you that whatever it is you're going through, it will come to pass. And God is trying to instruct us with a thorn to get us to get strong in the ministry of Him and get His power on us to go forward. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes closed. I appreciate your attention today. And I want you to know today, I'm not trying to make light of your hardship. I am telling you that your hardship has a purpose. I am telling you that God may not answer your prayer, but He'll sure teach you how to pray. And sometimes we ask God to move a mountain, and sometimes He wants us to climb over the mountain. And God wants us to experience that His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our lives. He's trying to teach us to glory in our infirmities. I wish I didn't have to drag my left leg. Sometimes I don't have to. But it's just a thorn. Now, Father, today we love you and thank you for how you teach us and how you sovereignly love us and train us. Bless these students. Some are kneeling right here. And challenge us with this great truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.